Good morning. This is Dana Sarig. I'm sitting in for Mike Sarig for Vital Ministries' Sunday morning message. Vital Ministries is a busy ministry that strives to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Through Vital Ministries, many have come to know Jesus. If you would like more information, go to vitalministries.org. On our website, you will find various men's groups in the area that meet on a weekly basis in Oskaloosa, Ottumwa, and Knoxville. There is also a Warriors Breakfast for Men at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. This meets once a month on a Saturday morning. You may sign up for two daily devotionals that are written or podcasted. They are Vital Men Devotions as well as Vital Life Application Devotions. These go out daily, 5 days a week. If you would like to attend a worship service, Vital Gathering meets at Debbie's Celebration Barn in Oskaloosa on the second Sunday of every other month. The next slated gathering will be January's second Sunday from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We serve a dinner with dessert at 5 o'clock, so come hungry. Then the Vital Band ushers us into a time of praise and worship. Mike then brings a great message, and finally we end the evening with praise and worship. Vital Gathering is a great time of food, fellowship, and building your relationship with Jesus. If you have any questions or need information, go to vitalministries.org. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm glad to be filling in for the next 3 Sundays for Mike. As I fill in, I love breaking down scripture passages part by part and learning what God has to teach me. Today, I'm going to be breaking down Psalms 26, 1 through 12. Each part I break down will have a message that may speak to you today in your life. So to begin with, I'm going to read the full passage from Psalms 26, 1 through 12, and this will set up the learning for today. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with the hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. So I'm going to look at Psalms 26, 1 through 3, and just kind of see what's going on here in Scripture, and what is David trying to say, and how does it speak to you today? So in Psalms 26, 1 through 3, vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. So here, David is not stating that he is sinless. He knows he's a sinner. He is actually pleading with God to clear his name. He has false charges that are coming against him, and he feels his enemies bearing down on him, and they are actually trying to ruin him, bring harm to him. So instead of relying on his own wits or retaliating or, you know, basically maybe using his army or whatever at this point, he knew exactly who to go to for help. So here he's taking his problem directly to God and he's laying it out. He's asking God and pleading with him to clear his name. So some bad things are being said about him, and instead of going and trying to maybe possibly making things worse, he first asks God to examine him. So he wants to make sure that what is being said is really not true, and he wants to be examined by God. He knew that God already knew his heart, and he needed this dialogue. So when you have this dialogue with God, as you're visiting with him, you can start to know your own heart. And that's what David was doing. He was having a dialogue with God so that he could start to know his own heart. God helps us see into ourselves. He helps you know right from wrong. If you are having times of great difficulty, or maybe your character is being attacked, take it straight to God first. He will help you examine yourself and just lay it out there and look at it, and he'll help you be honest with yourself. And when you are found blameless, or if you are found that, you know, I really did nothing wrong, ask for forgiveness. He will forgive you. If you have done something wrong, he will forgive you if you ask. And he will clear your record. He clears it according to his mercy. So if you have done nothing to warrant an attack on yourself, you can stand strong and steady in God. If you have done something and it's by examining yourself, it's revealed it, then you can ask for forgiveness. And you know that you can change your behavior and he will clear your record. And that is definitely reassuring, that it's better to look at things head on and straight and know in your heart whether you have done something wrong or if you have not done something wrong. And you can work that out with God. He will help you. And that is what David was doing, because he was having some attacks on him. Then it goes on into Psalm 26, 4 through 8. It reads, I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. So, there is a question here. Should we stay away from unbelievers? Jesus showed us through his life that we go out among unbelievers to help. You are not to be one of them, but you have to be with them. You are to be with them. That's our world. As you are out there, be helpful and compassionate. Now, as you are out with people that, you know, don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus, and you're living your life, it's also important to be careful not to act like them, because it harms your witness for God. So as you are out living your life, doing your job, getting your groceries, doing whatever, you know, running kids here and there, remain obedient to God as you are out doing life in the world, and you will be a testimony. As you do this, you will build your relationship with Jesus. And then as you are doing this, you are helping others know the good news of Jesus. Remember to allow the Holy Spirit to help you and to know when to move on. You are not responsible to fight God's battles, but you are a tool for God to use. This is where I would get confused sometime, because I want people to get it so badly sometimes, and I want them to find their relationship with the Lord, that sometimes I felt like I had to defend God. As I was building my relationship with Him, I realized I don't have to defend Him at all. That is not my job. I don't have to. He takes care of Himself. He shows who He is to who He chooses. That's not my business. I am to remain obedient. I am to listen. I am to help and be compassionate. So, I need to keep my relationship open and honest with the Lord and seek His guidance always. Seek it first. And then, another thing that's really kind of cool, that you can solidify your relationship through worship. So here, you know, David loved to worship God, and that was part of his solidifying relationship with Him. Praise and worship that come first, that show you who God is. He already knows who He is, but it shows you who He is. It affirms it, and it affirms it with the Lord. And so there's that affirmation that goes back and forth there, and it solidifies your relationship. Many times, remember how they would worship before battle, or they would praise before battle? The trumpets would go before. So, praise and worship opens your communication with God. It also puts your heart and mind in the right state. Many times, we go into prayer and maybe we're needing something solved right away, or something's happened, or, you know, or maybe you just, you know, just things aren't going well. And if you would first praise and worship the Lord and affirm who He is, it gets your heart and your mind into a worshipful state, as well as an affirming state, and you can have a beautiful dialogue with the Lord, and He promises to help you if you ask for help. That's a promise. So have worship before you have prayer and need to speak with God. Finally, in verses 9 through 12, it talks about complaining and praise. So here, I'm going to read this and we'll kind of break this down. And this is 9 through 12. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. So, complaining. There's a difference between complaining, I guess, in a negative way, like being crabby about it, negative. There's also a way to vent. There are many times you have got to vent your frustrations. You can't hold them in. It's like a shaken pop bottle and you blow the top off. You know, it's like, ah, you gotta share it. So you can vent with God. You can pour out your frustrations. So here, David is venting. Now, he chose to vent to God. He didn't go vent to friends or family. Do you vent and complain to friends or family, maybe on a regular basis, or maybe they're like, oh no, here they come. They probably got something else going on. So I would start thinking twice about that, because instead of venting to them, go tell God about your worries, your irritations, and problems. Let him know firsthand. And when you let him know firsthand, you can talk with him about these. As you talk with him about it, you can open a door of working toward restoration and solutions. So you're not whining. You're just telling him, you know, I'm frustrated with this problem I'm having. It just keeps going wrong and I'm wearing out. I can't take it anymore. For example, I even have like a problem right now where we have our boiler in our house just keeps causing us trouble. And finally, you know, each thing that we go through, and I've been keeping a running record on our calendar. It's just been, the summer it was every 4 weeks. And then we had a good stint where we had 4 months of, wow, nothing's going on. And then here we go again. We're in the holiday season and we're without hot water. And so we're having to improvise on washing hair and doing all those things because we don't have hot water. And we also don't have heat. So we are using little heaters right now to heat our house, and it's kind of been a roller coaster. And there have been times I've bawled because it's like, wow, here we go again. I can't take this. So then I went and I vented to God and said, wow, this is really frustrating. We need the right people. We need you to put people in our path because we don't have a clue. And sure enough, it's starting to work itself out. He's put good people in our path. The problem's being solved. Am I still taking cold showers? Yes. Am I still have no hot water, no heat in the house? Yes, right now. But that is going to start getting better because we found a boiler and it's going to be on its way, and it's going to get fixed. Now, I thought in the meantime, while I'm going through this, how do I go through this and like live with it? You know I have to do it. So I thought, okay, wash my hair in the sink, boil some water, get some cool water in there, put the hot water in there, done. Can wash my hair in the sink, no big deal. Got that figured out. How do you take a freezing shower? Well, Mike and I have the art of taking a freezing cold shower down to the T. It's quick and you just do it. You have a heater in the bathroom, and I figured out too by getting a bucket and filling it with warm water so that you can at least end with warm water. Anyway, we're making it work. I adjusted my attitude and thought, okay, this is a challenge we have to overcome. We need God's help. He's providing help in this trouble. And you're always going to have trouble. Trouble comes no matter what. You have trouble. And how are you going to get through it? Are you going to whine, throw a fit, look at all the negatives about it? Or are you going to go to God, vent to Him, ask Him for help, ask Him for solutions, and then work towards finding solutions? And so that's what I chose to do. Not that it wasn't, it was okay for me to cry. It was okay for me to be frustrated. It's okay because it is frustrating. There are frustrating things that happen. And you've got to be able to talk to God freely about that. And then He will work with you and you can work towards a positive solution. So in general, people in general don't really like to be around a negative person. So you have to think, am I a negative person? And if you are, you may want to rethink this. So instead of like you meet your friends and you've got all these problems, take your issues to God and start working through them with Him first. Now, I kind of like to tell a story about the boiler and all the crazy stuff we've had to go through and getting creative on, you know, how to live your life with freezing cold water. And that has been kind of fun in a way. So I guess if you can have fun while you're going through something that's not fun, I mean, I guess that's the way to do it. So now, another thing that when you're going through tough times or troubles, so you've taken your issues to God and you start working through them with Him, one of the best ways to get into a better frame of mind, and I have found this totally is true, is to praise and worship God publicly as well as privately. And when you praise and worship Him, it pulls your mind from the trouble. And it's like, you know, someone bigger can take care of it, has it, is going to help you. You're one of His children. He cares deeply for you. You are beloved. You are worthy. And He knows you're having trouble. And when you praise and worship Him, it puts you into a better frame of mind. And it makes your problem not seem so big. And even if it is big or it's, you know, overwhelming, whatever, it may be a health issue. Take everything to Him. Daily praise and worship Him. He will change your attitude for the better. He will affirm that He's got it. He knows what your future is. He knows, and He does have plans for you. He has plans. And so even though my little boiler issue that's going on and, you know, it's a discomfort, it's not even close to what maybe some other people's problems are health-wise or, you know, financial or whatever they're going through. Mine's probably a little teeny speck, but I have been through some really huge things in my life, some really troubled times and some life-altering changes. And I did find that when I went straight to Him and I vented and talked with Him about it and told Him how I was feeling and how terrible I felt, He started restoring me and He found solutions to my problems. I wrote these all down. When I was going through some of the toughest times of my life, I wrote them down because it shows me that He's got it, so that when I'm going through some junky times again, or you always know there's going to be something, He's there and I know it. And I have felt Him through this whole thing that we've had to go through. And so with the boiler. And so I felt His presence. And I kind of laughed too. We're working out all the glitches in our home for the next owner, so they will have it running smoothly. And goodness, have we had glitches. We've had glitches all over the place. But since Mike is such a great builder, he's taking care of all of them as they've hit us. So I'm so thankful for that. We're thankful for where we are in our life, and we're thankful that God is in our life and that He helps us get through these difficult times or these problems or these troubles. And we can tell Him, I can't take anymore. This is a little too much. And then you can tell Him that. And then you can get kind of restored. And then you can go, okay, how can I solve this? What can I do to have a better attitude? And so that's what I did for this this thing we're going through now. So praise and worship God and watch your attitude change. So I want to go through the 3 points. I guess I want to end with 3 points here that I take away from the passage this morning. So in Psalms 26, 1 through 12, there's a variety of things I've brought out. Here are 3 main ones I just want to bring out to end with. Number 1, if your name is being run through the mud, allow God to work it out by taking it to Him as you remain steadfast. I have found that when that's happened to me, I've had people do some not nice things to me in my life, and I went straight to God. I allowed Him to work it through. I stayed steady. I didn't change who I was. I made sure I wasn't doing something wrong. And I made sure if I was doing something wrong, I changed it and I asked to be forgiven. And then I stayed steadfast in that change. So allow God to work is number 1. Number 2, be compassionate and helpful, but do not act like unbelievers. Your testimony is important. So when you're out in the world living life and doing your thing and going to work and getting your groceries and going out for dinner, be compassionate and helpful. One thing I do when I go out to eat is I always make sure I tip 20% or higher. And I don't care if they've had trouble getting the food to me or if things have gotten goofy and, you know, you've been sitting there for a while. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know that they've been slammed with 3, 4, or 5 tables and they're just trying to catch up. You don't know that things sometimes don't come out on time correctly, and you don't know what's going on. So I'm not going to blame them. I'm just going to be compassionate and helpful, and I'm going to tip them regardless because I know they're trying. And they may be having a bad day too. So we're all human. So be compassionate and helpful. And then number 3, you can vent your problems to God and He will help you work them out. Take your problems to Him. Vent. He will start to help you work out solutions. He will put people in your path. He will bring things to your mind. You can have a more positive experience in a negative experience when you vent your problems to God first. So, 3 points. Allow God to work, be compassionate and helpful, and vent your problems to God. Well, I'm glad I got to sit in for Mike today, and I hope you have learned a few things from this scripture. Thank you for listening today. This is a Vital Ministries radio ministry. I hope you have a blessed day. Strength and courage.